begin with, because some of what you'll be hearing today was first brought to my attention by a professor of mine at Southern Seminary back in the 1990s, which I understand is now the subject of fodder for nostalgia at Union, the 1990s. Theme of All Sing is I Love the 90s. I was loving the 90s with Dr. James L. Blevins at Southern Seminary, who introduced me to this rather obscure German scholar named Ethelbert Stauffer. Our topic for today, now, by the way, there's a baby name for any of you trying to gather those, Ethelbert Stauffer. Our topic for today is one that, gets a lot of controversy. 666. So I've subtitled this this talk, 666, the Apostle John, Emperor Domitian, and what Left Behind didn't teach you about Revelation in Sunday school. Now, we begin with Caesar Domitian, who was the emperor beginning in AD 81, reigned until AD 96. And Domitian was unique in the fact that previous Caesars had declared themselves with lofty titles, even titles as son of Jupiter, son of God, and etc. That had happened before. But Caesar Domitian was the first emperor to declare himself imperator 23 different times. He would have these huge processionals and festivals, huge games in his honor all over the empire. And he was the first emperor to declare himself God the Lord and Savior of all eternity. God the Lord and Savior for all eternity. And throughout the empire, he would erect huge statues in the capital cities of the places where he reigned, and he minted coins that also had this imagery and this language about him being God the Lord, telling people whom to worship. You worship Domitian. And he created temples and built temples in his honor. Domitian was also a cruel man. He was wicked and he was paranoid. And he began to be spooked by passages in Tacitus and Suetonius that talked about a revival coming from the east and a great world ruler coming out of Judea. And he began wondering, who this might be and what this prophecy might be about. And much like Herod the Great, Domitian was determined to stamp any competition out. And so he began asking around who this ruler from Judea might be. And to his shock and chagrin and terror, he found out that people within his own household were starting to worship somebody else besides Domitian, God the Lord. As a matter of fact, he couldn't have children. He and his wife could not have children, so they got surrogate parents. The surrogate parents' names were Clemens and Domitilla. They just happened to be Christians, and before they became Christians, had given birth to two sons, Vespasian and Domitian, that were going to take the throne after Domitian had died. And church history tells us that Clemens was the third bishop of Rome that wrote First Clement, that was one of the earliest writings in the church after the close of the New Testament period. And as a matter of fact, Clemens and Domitilla had become believers, and there were even some members of the Senate, Roman Senate, who hated Domitian, that began to foment this teaching about this one called Jesus of Nazareth. And so Domitian was the first emperor to really begin persecuting Christians, anyone that was a competition to his worship and honor, all throughout the empire. Nero had done it a little bit in Rome. He had killed Peter and Paul, but Domitian was intent upon stamping it out. Now, the capital city of Asia Minor was a city named Ephesus. And I was fortunate to go there with Dr. Dockery this summer. I call it Biblical Disneyland, if you ever can go. It's amazing because it's the most well-preserved ancient city. And you see, there's the Celsus Library down there in the lower left-hand corner, a 23,000-seat stadium that still has concerts at it today. Sting just performed there about a year or two ago. And you see these great colonnaded streets, gorgeous city. And in the upper left-hand corner here, Domitian built a huge temple in his honor, and he had a high priest who served in this temple. And this high priest was charged with ruling the city on behalf of the worship of Domitian in Domitian's absence. And in this temple, in the, in this temple, there was a huge statue of Domitian. And you were supposed to worship it. There was also a huge statue, 16, 20 feet tall, in the city square. And whenever you came by it, you were to bow down to it and worship it. Well, Domitian began getting some reports coming in from the field that people were not worshiping his statue in Ephesus. And he traced it all the way back to a pastor of the Christian churches in that region, who we most famously know as John the Apostle, or in the tradition, John the Theologian, the beloved one of Jesus Christ, who at this point was becoming a really old guy. And he was telling the Christians, you can't bow down to this statue. You can't declare Domitian God the Lord. You can't do any of this. You've got to resist. And the resistance movement was beginning to pick up steam. And Domitian clearly couldn't have this. So St. Jerome tells us that Domitian summoned arrested the Apostle John and brought him to Rome. Now, what do you do with someone who's creating rabble-rousing insurrection and creating trouble in the empire? What do you do with them? You kill them! All right? I know you know part of this story, so you want to say, well, you sent, you know, no, you kill them, right? So Tertullian, another early church father, tells us that Caesar Domitian summoned John to Rome, and he put him on trial and convicted him of treason and insurrection and was going to once and for all stamp out this worship of this great world ruler from Judea. And Tertullian tells us that Domitian tried to do this by throwing the Apostle John into a cauldron of burning hot oil. All right? And he did this, and Tertullian says it happened in the Colosseum of Rome. And after a few minutes kind of swirling down in there, the Apostle John popped up and said, I'm pretty much good. You could not kill this guy. Any M. Night fans out there? M. Night Shyamalan fans? This was the original unbreakable guy. John the Apostle. He couldn't kill him. So what did he do? He had to send him to a resort facility? Now, we were here this summer, and Kimberly said, this looks like a spa, pretty much. But this is the Isle of Patmos. See, Domitian couldn't kill John, so he sends him to Patmos in exile, and this this has been irrigated, and they've got water on here now, but there's no naturally occurring water on the Isle of Patmos. All the water had to be brought in, and it was a mining community. So Domitian sent John to the Isle of Patmos to work in the mines. And this is the Isle of Patmos. And while on the Isle of Patmos, John receives a revelation, a vision from Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, let's have a little fun with Emperor Domitian. Now, in order to appreciate this apocalyptic vision that Jesus gave John, we need to understand a little bit about not the Isle of Patmos, but about the city of Ephesus that John was pastoring in. Now, in the city of Ephesus, there was this great temple of Domitian, as I told you. And in the Domitian temple, there were these festal ceremonies that would begin with the high priest of Domitian in the temple prostrating himself down before this huge statue of Domitian, which had feet of burnished bronze and which had eyes that flamed like fire. As a matter of fact, the statue was hollow. And before people came in, the little minions of the high priest would get inside this thing and they would do a fog and light show. And there would be all these miracles and wonders, and fire would come out of the eyes of this thing. And the high priest would prostrate himself down and worship this great statue of Domitian. And Domitian had a sash around his waist. And that sash in the ancient world was for a military ruler who was in the business of taking territory and conquering. And this is what Domitian was doing. He was conquering the Germanic tribes at this time. And the sash was there and had hair white like Zeus. Does this sound familiar to anybody? Domitian had the seven stars in one hand, saying that he ruled the planets. And he stood amidst several candelabra, which represented the cities that he governed in Asia Minor. And a sacrifice was made to Domitian, and then they would lead out of the temple and get out into the streets, and there would be this great ceremony, and they would go to the stadium that you still find in Ephesus today, the stadium of Domitian. And he loved to have these great Olympic-style games called the Capitoline Games. He had these imperial games, and they would have these messages from Domitian to all of those who were assembled. And they would break the seals off of these passages, and they would open them up. They would open the scrolls, and they would read, and they would sound like this. To the mayor of the city of Smyrna, write, "These things you're doing well and you please Domitian, but this one thing I have against you, if you do not dot, 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 then I will sniff out your light on the candelabra." Does this sound familiar to anybody? So the scrolls had these blessings and cursings attached to them for these cities and governors. And next they had a worship service in the stadium. And they sung hymns of praise to Domitian. "Hail victory, Lord of the earth, invincible power, glory and honor, peace, security, holy, blessed, great. Thou alone art worthy to receive the kingdom. Maranatha! Even so, come, Lord Domitian, do not delay." And after their praise and worship time, boom, the gates would open in the stadium, and out would rush teams of chariots and horses, all in different colors. And everyone who was in the stadium got broken up into different colors, and you rooted for the color of your part of the stadium in the stadium games with these four different horsemen. It's just like the Dixie in Gatlinburg. That's exactly what it's like, you know, where you have your team. We went to that. And we got stuck on the north side. They booed us. So you had these games that were happening. And then there would be, when Domitian would come, by the way, Ephesus was the great harbor city of Asia Minor. You had to come through Ephesus. That's where all the economics happened. And Domitian used to be able to sail right up to the city. You can't do that anymore. The sea is now a couple miles out. But it used to be that he used to come out of the sea, and he would come to his games. And Domitian, when he was there, used to love to unleash these wild and exotic beasts of prey that would devour gladiators or, you know, small animals and the thing. And everybody loved the horror and the gore of this. Now, I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 5. Because here is where we start seeing how Jesus is going to take Caesar Domitian by his toga, shake him upside down, and make a fool out of him. Revelation chapter 5. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll and to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." So what are we prepared for? We're prepared for this great beast, this lion, to pounce out into the middle of the stadium here and take control. And is this the picture that we find in Christianity? No. Verse 6. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits sent out into the earth. And he went and he took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, not a song of war, not a song of power, not a story of destruction, but of God's love, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open the seals, for you were slain. And by your blood, you have ransomed people for God, people from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them one kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign upon the earth." That's what's happening in the book of Revelation. It is a sign of notice to the principalities and powers of this world that Jesus is Lord and there is no other God, and all kingdoms and all nations and all powers are destined to fall down and worship him alone. For there is no other God. One God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So part of what I want you to see today is that almost all of the book of Revelation can be understood on one level by understanding the geography of the ancient city of Ephesus. Now, let's get to the title of our talk today. I told you Domitian loved coins. And Gavin Richardson, who is a professor here at Union, is sort of a numismatic scholar. He loves coins, and he looks at ancient coins, okay? And so Gavin, this one's for you, baby. Domitian had coins, and they would have Latin inscriptions for the Roman parts of the empire, and then Greek inscriptions for other parts of the empire where Greek was common. And here was Domitian's title in Latin: Imperator Caesar Domitianus Augustus Germanicus. In Greek: Autocrator Kaiser Domitianus Sebastius Germanicus. And if you follow the standard abbreviation of that Greek title, you wind up with this right here. Okay, and there is one of the coins. And these coins were, like kudzu. They were everywhere. Now, in the Old Testament, the Hebrews developed a thing called a gematria, which was a code so that they could speak in code, and so other outsiders would not know what they were talking about. And the Apostle John simply transferred that old Hebrew gematria in the Hebrew language, And there was a, I mean, you can wiki this. I mean, I'm not making this up. There was a Greek gematria, okay? And here it is, okay? So alpha is equal to the number 1, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon. You go down through here. When it, once it gets up to iota, number 10, it starts counting by 10. And once you get to 100, it starts counting by 100, and so on. All right? So let's do some addition fun with the Apostle John. Now, this is from Ethelbert Stauffer, so you can quit laughing at him now because he was a genius. Here's the coin. Here's the abbreviation. Alpha, kappa, alpha, iota, delta, omicron, and so on. There are the Greek gematria equivalents for each of those letters in the abbreviated name. Add them all up, and they come to 666. So now open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 13. And we get this great story in Revelation chapter 12. Of the woman and the dragon, right? And the woman gives birth to a son, and the son's caught up into heaven, and the dragon makes war against those who are descended from the woman. And look at Revelation chapter 13. Look at verse 18. This calls for wisdom. Let the one who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. 666. Let he who has wisdom calculate the number. If you did not have Domitian's coins, you did not buy, you did not eat, you did not sell, you starved to death. Now, back in Ephesus, there are other references here. Pliny the Younger, who is writing at this time, quite independently of the Apostle John, as a matter of fact, years before the Apostle John, referred to, and this became a well-known, people did not like Domitian, even though he was the emperor. This became Domitian's nickname in certain parts of the empire. Pliny the Younger said, quote, Domitian is the beast from hell, sitting in its den, licking blood. And who is the first beast rising up out of the sea in Revelation chapter 13? It is he who rises up out of the depths of the sea with the blood of the saints on his garments. Domitian, who is killing Christians all over the empire. Now, I told you about the gold statue of Domitian and how that was erected. And the high priest would hide his guys in there and they would make and perform all these wonders. Look at Revelation 13. Verse 11 talks about the second beast. Who is the second beast? It's the high priest of Domitian. Then I saw another beast rising out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, spoke like a dragon. It exercises the authority of the first beast in its presence and makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast in its presence and makes the earth and its inhabitants worship. It performs great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to earth in front of the people. And by the signs that it is allowed to work in the presence of the beast, it deceives those who dwell on the earth, telling them to make an image for the beast that was wounded by the sword and yet lived. Well, that's what the second beast does. He makes wonders happen in front of the people on behalf of the first beast. Now, in my next chapel talk, we can talk about what the book of Revelation might mean for the future, but today I want you to focus like a laser on what it means for right now, because one of the problems with the book of Revelation is Christians have taken it to mean that it means something just about the future, just something about the rapture, something that's going to happen in the future, and we sit on our hands, and don't do anything. We're just waiting for Jesus to come back. That is not the message of the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is about standing and witnessing and dying for Jesus today and paying the consequences if that be necessary. The book of Revelation is the coolest political protest letter of all time. And it brought down Caesar Domitian. Sent from a rocky mining prison island in the middle of the Aegean Sea. On September 18th, 96, there was an itinerant Pythagorean preacher named Apollonius of Tyana who received the following vision in Ephesus. Stephanus, yes! Yes, that's right. Strike dead the bloodhound. Well struck, blood dead. And he went around Ephesus telling people that Domitian was dead. Well, they didn't know this for sure. So weeks later, a runner from Rome, someone who brought the news, came with the evangel, the good news in his hand. It was true. Domitian was dead, assassinated by a conspiracy within his own house, some of whom no doubt were connected to Jesus of Nazareth, the great ruler from Judea, who brought the beast down. Meanwhile, back on Patmos, no reason for John to stay. You know, why didn't John die? Did you ever think about that? In the cauldron of boiling oil? Why didn't he die? Didn't Jesus promise him? Remember that scene at the end of the Gospel of John? Where Peter's like, you know, you told me I'm going to be crucified hanging upside down. What about him? What about John? And Jesus is like, what's it to you? You know, he's going to be okay. So, John leaves his little cave. It's back on a boat. Sails across the ocean, comes up to the harbor of the city of Ephesus, steps off, is no doubt greeted by Christians who had suffered horribly during the time of Domitian, and he walks to that temple of Domitian, and he sees how the people have rushed in and broken down the statues and hurled the head off of the precipice of the temple terrace, all smashed and all destroyed. And the elderly apostle shuffles back to his home there in Ephesus and makes tea and dies in Ephesus at the ripe old age of, well, we don't know, but AD 100, we think. And that is the story of the book of Revelation. Will you stand and I'll dismiss you? Our Father and our God, we thank you for what your word means to Christians throughout time, past, present, and future. And Lord, while we celebrate that your word prophesies about what will happen at the end of time, Father, we pray that you would inspire us through the witness of the Apostle John that Jesus Christ alone is Lord and that there is no Caesar, there is no politician, there is no Congress, there is no Kaiser, there is no emperor who will ever, ever eclipse the glory of the one true God. God, Father, and His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, to whom we pray as we dismiss. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Amen. You are dismissed.